The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Well, if you're an Aggie fan, you can watch this all day long. The Boeing shot, that cost Arkansas a victory and gave the Aggies a win in Jerry's World. And in the end, it doesn't really matter, does it? Billy Lucci joining us now from Aggie Land. Always great to have our friend. Billy, good afternoon. And I just have to get the A&M side of Saturday night. We've heard from Arkansas fans. How is that bizarre ending playing in your world?
Well, I think they're calling it the oink doink, Paul. The ball hitting the upright and falling back into play. I've interviewed several A&M players that they were just like you and I were, and all the fans in attendance trying to figure out, was that good or not? You know, you had players debating whether or not they were supposed to celebrate right there. Paul, you know this. We've talked about this. That is a wild rivalry. A lot of people want it on campus. I get it. But, man, it has been a fun, wild rivalry at Jerry World. And this one probably took the cake. 14-0. A&M comes back, appears to seize control. Arkansas battles back, their position for the win, and the field goal literally hits off the top of the upright. So as wild one as there was in a game that A&M had to win, we've said that about the last two after App State, and give them credit because they sure didn't look like a team ready to go beat number 13 and number 10, and they've done that back-to-back. More specifically, this one. This is a really good, tough Arkansas team that was going to test you physically and mentally. And A&M didn't play very well. They still haven't, I don't think, played a great game. But they've somehow figured out how to win the last two, and that's to be commended.
Yeah, and I think with the Miami loss and had the Aggies mm-hmm. lost, it would have just compounded where is this yeah. team, which I'm going to ask you anyway. Anaya Smith out. Give us what that means and how does the offense, which is already staggering, overcome a blow like that?
That's a devastating blow. There's no two ways around it. Not only in what a player he was, Paul, and I think they could actually replace those catches and that production yardage-wise easier than they can what he means to the football team. He's a punt returner. He can line up in the backfield. He can take the ball as a runner. He and Anias and A-Chain in the backfield give you a lot of matchup problems to create if you're Jimbo Fisher. And he's kind of just the tough guy of that team. He's the heart and soul, I think, of that offense and really helps the younger receivers. So in those areas, I think he's more irreplaceable than anything. But the way to do it is it's time for Evan Stewart. You know, he scored his first touchdown last week. He's an outstanding receiver. Donovan Green, the tight end, maybe he has to start getting more catches. We saw him kind of have a breakout, another high four or five-star freshman there at tight end. I think more than anything else, though, Paul, what A&M's got to do is continue this upward trajectory that we've seen in terms of running the football and the offensive line improving. They've got to ride Devon A-Chain. That's going to open things up for Max Johnson and those receivers I talked about in the play action passing down the field. Because, look, the reality is, while the running game has improved significantly each of the last 2 weeks, offensively, they're having a hard time scoring more than two touchdowns in this a game. And this dates back to last season. And you know as well as I do, that's not going to cut it, you know, in the long run. It might cut it Saturday night. It might even cut it in Starkville. You know, A&M held that Mississippi State team with Will Rogers last year to 26. It's not going to last long, and the Aggie offense has got to produce more points, and they've got to do it without one of their two best players.
Talking to Billy Lucci, let's talk about this weekend because, you know, Mississippi State is a mystery team as well, and we know what happened a year ago, but that was a completely different situation. That team was skidding after the Arkansas loss with Alabama ahead, and you take us back to what that loss meant, and obviously the Aggies were able to recover, but what do you see this week?
I thought that loss last year was – and I know they lost their last two, Ole Miss and LSU. Those were four-quarter, 59, you know, 55 and 59-minute games there, respectively. Mississippi State, to me, was where that team kind of bottomed out and hunkered down and said, look, it's either that's it or we go up from here, and then they came back and beat Bama. I think that moment for this team better have been, and I think it was. I think it was App State. They're going on the road for the first time this year. That's as veteran a Mississippi State team as you're going to find in the SEC. And I interviewed two guys yesterday that are 17 years old that played on that Aggie defense against Arkansas, and all their fifth-year O linemen. Two D linemen are still 17. I think four of them that played are 17 or 18. They're just going to have to go and kind of grit it and will it out like they did against Arkansas on Saturday. And that defense has been bend but don't break, and that'll have to continue because you've got to stop. I bet any team that's beaten a Mike Leach team over the years, outside of maybe his first transition year, you beat them by bending and not breaking. You beat them by getting stops in the red zone and forcing field goals. And I think that's going to be A&M's path to victory on the road. And they haven't been great in Starkville. The Aggies haven't. They did win their last time out there, so – a very pivotal game for the Aggies, Paul. Like, what would you have told me if I would have told you after App State, oh, don't worry, they'll beat Miami, they'll beat Arkansas, and they'll go into Starkville and win? That seemed so improbable then. It seemed laughable, actually. Now that they've got one thing standing between them and a showdown with Alabama that a couple weeks ago we thought was going to be a pretty meaningless, kind of more of a revenge thing for Alabama and Nick Saban than anything else.
Yeah, and it's funny, we're just a week and a half from that setup. It was announced today that's in prime time, and I mean, I don't really think that the odds of Alabama and A&M both losing is that high, but can you imagine? They might as well just put a young Sheldon on instead of that game, because I mean that will be a rough sell for CBS after the biggest buildup in the offseason to a game probably since 13 with Johnny in Alabama.
It is you're right. It's fascinating. This is probably the biggest A&M Bama game since 13 if both teams win. There's no question about that. I'll tell you what, both these teams have obviously, we talked about A&M's task. Going into Fayetteville to play that Arkansas team, it's going to be fascinating. Bama intrigues the heck out of me because I do think they're one of the three best teams in the country, but I also look at Nick Saban's team, and I would say throw out Vanderbilt and you take last year's eight SEC games. They're two against Georgia and Texas, and that's 11 games. I think eight of those 11 were decided in the second half of the fourth quarter, and that doesn't even include that game against Tennessee last year. So Alabama is still elite. They're still the cream of the crop. They're still the class of the SEC, along with Georgia. But if you don't think that something has changed with the program in terms of just how dominant they are now versus how dominant they were, then you haven't been following this team the last two seasons. So I'll be keeping an interested eye on what goes on against Arkansas this weekend and see how the Hogs bounce back and see if A&M can hold up their end of the bargain. They had game day coming, right? Probably.
Yeah,
definitely. Showdown with Miami.
Absolutely.
And we saw what happened with App State. We'll see if the Aggies can do better this time. But more importantly, Miami to Arkansas, can they do that to Mississippi State? Because if they can make a similar improvement, they got a real chance to get out of there 2-0 in the SEC, which no one would have seen coming a couple of weeks ago.
Billy Lucci with the story from College Station. Thanks, Billy. We'll talk to you soon. Always must listen to and must see.
I wasn't expecting the young Sheldon reference, Paul. So that just made the segment for me.
I've always been a fan of that show, even though I've never seen it. We will take a short break here. So Auburn and Georgia is in the afternoon next week on CBS. As CBS holds on for dear life to what. It's still not the final season of the SEC on CBS. We can't get rid of them yet. We're coming right back. More Gary Danielson for all you Tennessee fans.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hours away from thinking out loud. We'll talk to the guys a little bit later in the show. And I mentioned earlier that this guy would not call in today, but I was wrong. Apparently he enjoys being humiliated. JK, the Miami fan, is up next.
What's going on, Mr. Flip-Flopper?
Nothing flipping about me. I'm just... enjoying another Middle Tennessee State victory.
Hey, it happened.
The ACC, how about that?
Hey, fine, Bob. It happened, baby. But check this out. Once again, you wrong with your prediction.
Miami's back.
Hold on now. You said
A&M. As many times as Texas has been back.
Oh, snap.
Hey, didn't you say Arkansas was going to beat A&M? You were wrong.
Yeah, how about that?
Didn't you say Alabama was going to win the national championship? You were wrong.
Well, I don't think I'm wrong yet.
Wrong this time.
Yeah, I don't think I'm wrong yet. It's only 4 weeks into the season, Mr. Hurricane.
Hey, I'm wrong this time. We got beat, but check this out. I don't make excuses after loss. I'm not a Bama fan. We lost.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Hey, it happened. Hey,
coming
you got to be a good sport and lose.
Instead of just saying we got a
country boy.
We got a terrible program, and Mario Cristobal sold us a bill of goods that he was going to resurrect us. He got beat by a new coach in Middle Tennessee. Where is Middle Tennessee? Cookeville, Tennessee? That's Tennessee Tech. Middle Tennessee is Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Murfreesboro, Tennessee beat the great Miami.
That football hotbed.
Hey, is it my turn yet?
Why don't you go talk about how bad Alabama's schedule is? Maybe that'll make you feel better.
Is it my turn to talk yet?
You can say whatever you'd like. It's a free,
hey,
country.
Hey, fine, but like I said, I don't cry and whine. We got whooped. Hey, it happens. It may happen again. So what? It's football. I take the winning with the losing.
The Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee.
Congratulations. You can celebrate today.
Middle Tennessee. Let's see what they've done this year. They lost to James Madison 44-7. They lost to Dolly Madison 34-7.
Dolly.
You got anything else, JK, or is this it?
I was just letting you celebrate. Don't let me interrupt you. I'm still gonna call Paul every whenever I want to call. I'm gonna call.
You're back on the road in about a week or two to at UAB. Maybe you can run over there and support your. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Middle Tennessee. I'm looking at, not Miami.
Pretty good, Paul. You got it going on today, baby.
No, JK. I don't mind you running your mouth about Miami. That's fine. You're a fan. That's what this show's about. You know what I do mind you running your mouth about? Is what a terrible schedule Alabama plays when they play one of the toughest schedules in the country every single year.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Paul Feinbaum. I know you just – did you just say that or did you get this morning?
The disadvantage – you know what the disadvantage for Alabama is every year?
Yeah, they I know the advantage
their
is.
Their biggest
they got
disadvantage
to come at,
is
they, got,
they don't play Alabama. If they were like everybody else in the SEC, they'd have the top team in the country on their schedule. But since they are the top team in the country, they don't. Here's my
only advantage they got.
Okay, who
the
we got?
Advantage
we got
they
Bethune Cookman, Southern Miss, Brett Favre University. Maybe you can build another volleyball field for them next time around. You got A&M. We saw. I mean, you lost to A&M. You got Middle. Let's see. What do you got next? Oh, you're at North Carolina coming up in a week or two. You're at Virginia.
Hey,
Tech. I
see
about eight more losses.
Hey, I see somebody smart put the Alabama schedule up on the screen with those first four high schools.
Yeah.
But, you know, at Alabama, they always got advantage. As long as you keep shaking those pom-poms for them every day on the show.
You might want to call Manny Diaz, see if he'll come back. The Mario Cristobal Project. Oh, yeah, Mario, hey. I'm from here. I know this place.
Hey, how about calling Mike Shula back when Nick leaves?
Yeah, tell Mr. Ruiz to you better open up the vault if you want to get better. Listen, no more. We're good. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate him calling, though.
Yes, yes.
Didn't mean to be unkind. Yeah, Gasman is up next. Hello, Gasman.
Hey, PB, what's going on, brother? I'm a long-time Tennessee Volunteer fan. Going back to the days, I'm old. Going back to the days when Alabama and Tennessee were tied all time. So that tells you in their series, Condridge Holloway going up top to Stanley Morgan, Haskell Stanback, Ricky Townsend, barefoot, kicking field goal. Yes, Larry Sievers in the corner of the end zone.
From Clinton, Tennessee.
Manning standing right there, brother. Yes, sir. But listen, we live through Derek Doolittle, Lane Train, Butchie Boy. We had Jeremy McDonald bag. And now we have got the hype train. So let me ask you, Paul. Let me ask you. I was there in the stadium watching the game. I want to remind you, I was tearing up turf in 82 when Bear shook hands with Johnny Boy the last time there. Bear was
Bear's
in.
Farewell
big
in
upset. 35-28. Big upset. But let me ask you, sir. What about going forward for us Tennessee fans? You can tell I'm an avid, passionate fan from Tennessee, from Gazaway, Tennessee. What about going forward? What's going to be different? Do you feel the difference this time versus some of the other times when we had just a little ebb and flow like 2016 with Butchie where it was smoke and mirrors and then we beat Florida there?
Yeah,
I'll
tell you why,
home.
Because Heupel's a serious coach. He's not a carny barker. He's not a used car salesman. He's not a telemarketer. He's a football coach. He played the game. He coaches the game. He doesn't get in for all the bells and whistles because he doesn't have to. And I think that's been the difference. And, you know, that Tennessee fan base has always been there ready to explode. And now I think there's a legitimate reason to feel great.
Great, great. One more question, Paul. One more question. What was Napier so upset about there at in the third? What was he so upset about when there was a review and a timeout called? He's wanting the clock to run. He's acting like Carl from Sling Blade wants some more French fried potatoes over there or something. What was the deal with that?
I think part of that is just to incite his team. But it was pretty dangerous because he almost blew any chance of getting back in the game. Maybe he was thinking about what to do whether to go for two or not. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bill is in Georgia. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted you to discuss why your bosses didn't put Georgia on TV and put them on streaming when they were the number one team in the country this last week.
Well, I think, Bill, and I don't know this for an absolute fact, but I think everybody in the SEC has to have one swing at the bat on that streaming deal. So it was Georgia's turn, and it was one of their least attractive games of the year, so I think that's how it ended up. That's what I've been told.
Thank you.
Thank you. Beyond that, I don't know. I understand it's an inconvenience. It's much easier when you can just turn the TV on and you don't have to hit a bunch of apps or buttons, but that's currently the world that we live in, isn't it? David is up next. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. First time caller, huge Georgia fan here. Love your show. My question is this, and I know it's a hypothetical one, but if Kirby doesn't end up at Georgia, where would Georgia be at now? And if he would have went to South Carolina, could he have made that team into a championship team like he has done in Athens? Thank you so much.
Yeah, for those who don't remember the story, Kirby was flirting with Georgia. He was flirting with South Carolina, and Greg McGarrity caught wind of it at Georgia and made a decision, which wasn't easy, because Mark Richt was in the process of coaching a 10-2 team to replace Richt with Kirby Smart. Here's what I think would have happened: Richt eventually was going to burn out there. He was, even though he was knocking out 9-3, 10-2 seasons, the recruiting was starting to catch up to him. So I think Kirby would have had two or three good years at Georgia. I believe ultimately he would have come back to, he would have had two or three good years at South Carolina. Ultimately, I believe Georgia would have hired him home, and South Carolina would have probably suffered as a result. Let's take a short break. We are heading we're down about 90 minutes into the show. We have Will Levis an hour from now. We've already had Billy Lucci on. We'll talk to the TOL guys a little bit later as well.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're easy, like a Monday afternoon. Speaking of that, easy is our next caller.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hello, easy.
All right. Look, Coach Fram at Jackson State, why all of a sudden now he's good enough to coach, you know, top line teams, and when he was available, he wasn't good enough to coach them then. Now, since he had a HBCU in winning, why everybody is sawing after him now?
Well, I think the honest answer is nobody took him seriously before he had this job. He was a high school coach who was basically a former TV analyst, and I think it took him going into this program, doing what he's done, making a significant difference to become the topic that he is.
Okay, good answer. Well, Deion knew no ways need to be at, and that's at a HBCU. You know, coaching, you know, I'm going to keep it real. I'm a real guy. Keep it real, knowing he ought to be helping his kid. And so he know where he need to be at. I don't really know if he really be accepted at the way he coaches in other schools.
Well, Easy, I agree with you. I think there are some places where he would not work. And
that's right.
And I think Auburn is one of those. You've got a good old boy system there that I can't imagine.
There you go.
I can't imagine those fellas calling Deion Sanders into the room and saying, "Now this is the way we've always done it, young man," and hope that it goes like that.
That's right.
And he would look at them that's and say, right. well, screw you guys. I'm out of here.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Paul. I just wanted to call and get my intake thank on you. That. We always enjoy hearing your show.
Thank you very much. I apologize for anybody that was offended by what I just said there. I meant to use a stronger word that he would have used. John is up next. Hello, John.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey, John. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I was just wondering if you tired of everybody calling there crying on your shoulders. How often do you have to change your suit? Because I know it'd be soaking wet. But anyway,
is my suit soaking wet?
I hear kind of nervousness in those Georgia
fans. By the way, I've got an invisible. Yeah, it's got a tier immune system set up.
Okay,
it's like a shield.
Did you take any courses in psychology at Tennessee? Because they got a lot of head cases they're calling upset about their team.
Yeah, no, and, I don't think I did, but I wish I had because I really I think I need it. I need professional training to be able to deal with the Daryls of the world.
Yeah, and I hear nervousness in those Georgia fans. They know Bama is coming to get them. I think it is. They just they keep calling you for some kind of support. Do you think Georgia do this, and do you think Georgia going to do that? And do you think Bennett can be the Heisman Trophy winner? Are they trying to get some kind of support from you?
You know, Bama, you know what I think is one of, and we're all guilty of it, and I'm asked the same question, but I think there ought to be a law talking about the Heisman Trophy the first 4 weeks of the year. It really should even be longer, but I don't want to insult the people that ask me about it all the time, although I will insult them. It may be 2 months. I mean, there are a lot of September winners of the Heisman Trophy. In fact, I distinctly remember being in Baton Rouge about 6 or 7 years ago, and my good friend Marcus Spears declared Leonard Fournette the winner of the Heisman. I'm still looking for that Heisman in Leonard's trophy cabinet. David is up next in Alabama. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well.
Hey, just a quick comment on Tennessee. I'm glad to see how good they're doing. But Tennessee kind of reminded, or Auburn's kind of reminded me how Tennessee is now when they had Pruitt. I think if Auburn gets a good coach in there, they've got great facilities, they start recruiting good. I think Auburn could be right back. And last thing, I'm just glad we don't have to play Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, David. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Lee is in Cincinnati. Hello, Lee. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got to ask you a question. I need your infinite wisdom on this because I asked Cole Kublik, Greg McElroy, Pat Smith. None of them had a viable answer. So now I'm asking, you're my last hope. What was the purpose in Billy Napier going for two the first time that he did? I
don't know. Those guys are far more knowledgeable than I am, especially Pat Smith. But there's a chart that coaches use to determine when or if to go for two. Now, usually it's a second half chart, and even then you have to be judicious. There's flow of the game. I mean, if you're in a game where it doesn't look like you may ever score again, then it makes sense. You're trying to set it up. But if it's a pretty active game, and this was, then you just have to use common sense, which I think he failed to use there.
I can guarantee you that he did, because hindsight's 20/20. But even in hindsight, I can't see any reason what point was in doing that. In fact, it might have cost him a chance to tie the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's very possible that it did. But Lee, in the end, he's hired to make those. I mean, coaches, we give head coaches a lot of credit, but ultimately, their biggest decisions once the game starts are situations like that. Who to play at quarterback, when to go for two, whether to go on fourth down. And when you make a mistake like that, you should never do something that puts you in even more trouble than you're already in. And that's exactly what he did there. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Other than that, I thought he had a great game plan. Malik is up next in Arkansas.
We give head coaches a lot of credit.
Malik, are you there?
No,
you're there, but you need to get ready to come on the air. Betty is up next. Hey, Betty.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, Betty, go right ahead.
Okay, Brother Paul.
Yes.
This is Betty from Tyler, Texas, 86-year-old minister's widow.
Oh, my goodness.
And watch your show regularly.
Thank you.
And I will be very, very honest. Since I was 15 years old, I've been an Aggie fan. Went there not knowing a single soul to a ball game with a cousin, and they had reserve tickets, and I was on the other side. But anyway, that was my beginning of being an Aggie, with all my other family being Texas fans. So I'm tough.
You sure are.
Have to be. I want to ask you a question, sir. I respect you greatly. I think you handle things very, very well. But I don't understand two or three things, and I'll be as quick as I can possibly be. During recruiting, when you kept insisting that Jimbo was going to LSU, and he had already bought property in College Station, said he wasn't leaving, and for a couple of weeks you insisted, oh, yes, he'll be going to LSU. He'll be going to LSU. And will you be honest with me? Was that just to try to hurt recruiting for Jimbo?
Well, Betty, you may have a better recollection than I do, but my recollection is this. I said that LSU wanted him, and they were trying to hire him, which is 100% true.
LSU never
gave up going after Jimbo. I never felt that it was absolute. And
well, you kept saying he'll be going. You know, I watched you every day.
Okay, well,
and he'll be leaving. He'll be going to. And I kind of got the feeling that it was kind of maybe trying to hurt his recruiting.
Well,
which,
I want you to know something, Betty. I feel like we can talk.
Sure. I appreciate you.
I would never, ever do anything to affect recruiting at A&M or any other school. In fact, I have a lot of friends at A&M, and I'm not just saying this to make my point, but Friday night in Dallas, I spoke at a small dinner of A&M alums.
Good. I wish I'd have known that. I'd have been there.
Including the president.
I was at the game.
President
Banks.
And
I looked for you.
Well,
Did you set up for game day?
Yeah, we were there. We were in Arlington, right outside the
stadium.
Well,
I tried to find you. We got there early, about 4 o'clock.
We were there at 9 in the morning, so I think we missed you that way. Some of my closest friends in sports are Aggies, and I would never, ever purposely try to do anything like that. And we can quibble about what you remember and what I remember.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm very happy to hear that. Now, one more question. I think you'll appreciate this, and you would like to maybe take it back. A few moments ago, I heard you say that you knew a high school team that could have beat A&M.
No.
I misunderstood.
I said there are several high school teams in Rhode Island that I think could beat Miami.
Okay. I took that the wrong way.
Yeah.
I'm so bent. You know, I feel like that the SEC, sometimes A&M is the stepchild. It's kind of hard to hear very much positive things. But A&M has a good team, and I think they have a good coach. I'm very proud that Jimbo is where he is.
Well, Betty, I can tell you that he's very popular among the A&M former students that I was with the other night in Dallas, and I'm sorry that that is one of the issues, and it happens in every walk of life, whether it's politics or sports, is sometimes we hear things and we interpret them, we process them how we're thinking. But I'm glad we could clear that up. And next time I'm in Tyler, I'll come by and see you. You know Tyler, Texas, don't you?
Absolutely.
Famous. They've got one of the most is that the Tyler junior high, the junior college team that always used to play at during the parade and on Thanksgiving? Is it Earl Campbell from Tyler? I'm trying to remember. I think he is. The Tyler Rose, yeah. I used to live near Tyler. That's why I know so much. I just didn't look that up because Betty called to chastise me. We're back with much more after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back with Jim from Tuscaloosa. Hello, Jim.
You know, I was telling you right now, I told Jeff a while ago, I said, you know, I turned Feinbaum on, but these callers ain't turning me on. Nothing about them turned me on until Betty. Betty brought it, Paul. Betty brought it. I love Betty. She fired it up. She got something going. You can talk to her. You got to have help. You know that. You got to have somebody you can talk to, not some dumbass like Legion or like iMonkey. You don't need – they got nothing but the same old self-centered garbage. Betty brought it big. She got me fired up, and that was a great call from that lady. 86 years old, and another 83-year-old lady that brings it is Miss Faye. I'm telling you, I enjoyed that call.
Well, no, it was quite a jousting match between Betty and I.
Well, you told her nicely and correctly, because I heard you when you talked about Miami. You said Miami, and she thought it was another team you had mentioned. But anyway, that was all good. Good stuff. Finally woke people up.
What are we to do here? Because we're at the mercy of the callers and.
Remember a week ago some goofball called in and said I owed the callers an apology. Well, I'm gonna tell you something, Paul. The callers owe us an apology today, except for Betty.
Well, I'm trying to think of outside. Let's move Betty off to the side. Who has stood out?
Keep her in the picture, though.
Nobody else. J.K. didn't stand out.
No, I'm not. I could name somebody, but I'd make him mad, and I like him.
Daryl.
No, there's nobody. Been no electricity, Paul. Just none until Betty.
Yeah, well, it's early. Monday's an interesting show, Jim. You get a lot of fan callers, and then it starts getting later in the afternoon, and
maybe so. I hope
the big dog starts showing up.
Maybe Squirrel can save the show. Maybe Squirrel can. He hasn't been on the
lately. I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Squirrel, but has he ever saved the show?
Been pretty good at times. He's been better than most of these guys, Paul.
He's a character caller. I mean, you watch a movie. And
I know, but
he's
got
a great character actor.
He's got the jock sniffer smelled out, that's for sure.
Well, no, he's a spectacular caller, but he's not what I would call the lead dog, the alpha male.
Well, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, Paul, but the point is he says things that are funny that gets people at least alert.
I mean, he's not in the league of an I-Man.
Oh, come on, Paul. No, you're right. He's not in that league. That's an awful league.
That's it. He's not in the league of an I-Man. I mean, I said that literally.
That's a Bush League is what that is. That's a Bush League.
Okay. And then there's Legion. You've already addressed. Who else do we need to talk about here? Let's see. You know who hasn't called in a long time is Jerome.
You know, I've noticed it. You're right. I have noticed it.
Wonder what happened to him. I wonder if he got a better deal somewhere else. Well, you know, that, Jim. A lot of our callers, they find another show that's friendlier, heard by maybe a few less people, but they feel good, so they leave us, and we've had that happen a few times, and that's fine.
And they can't take some of your quickness. I can take it. I've handled it all through the years, but they can't take the quickness, so they go away when you hurt their feelings, Paul. You just hurt their feelings.
Well, I'm glad we had this conversation, Jim. I feel better about the show because I was starting to worry myself.
Yeah. Well, Randy and I were talking about that at the last break.
Right? Where are the gyms from Tuscaloosa tonight?
But go Betty. I mean, Betty brought spunk. Betty. She's got spunk.
She's got some spunk, yeah. Remember that old line from the Mary Tyler Moore show?
I remember that from Mary Tyler Moore.
Mary Tyler Moore is telling her boss, who's Mr. Yeah, what's Grant. That guy? I mean, I know it's Lou Grant, but I can't remember what his name was.
Lou Grant, Ed Asner.
It was Lou Grant. The guy was Ed Asner, and she said, he said, you know what, Mary, you've got spunk. And then he looked, he said, I hate spunk.
It was one of the greatest TV lines ever, really.
I mean, it's a line that was uttered 50 years ago, and I still remember it.
Well, I see it on replay still all the time. I saw it on replay.
Great lines do not age, Jim, because there are so few of them.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. But you've got a few great lines.
Well, I try. Jim, I do the best I can for a fading matinee.
And I'm doing all I can to help you, Paul, as you well know.
Well,
all
Jim,
I can do to help
you. I would not be here without you, so thank you again.
And most callers agree with that.
And thanks to the Academy for this tremendous honor.